Hello, everybody. It's Kateri.
And Owen and Kylock.
And welcome to the Soothsayer's Tea feature episode. And we're going to be talking about getting back on the horse.
Yes. The metaphorical horse, or the physical horse, if you are into horse riding. Like I was from ages 6 to 9.
I feel like we're getting a life story.
Yeah. I thought I'd share that. Listen, I haven't been bullied enough lately. I thought that if I told everyone I used to horse ride, it would really, really sink in that I am insane.
I think it just kind of mediates. You're like, you know what? I'm not that sensitive about this one. So why don't you make fun of me for this one instead of what you're actually making fun of me right now for?
Listen, don't worry about it. Okay. Move on.
Stop talking. Keep going. So we're kind of really... just spitting out on this one because there is definitely some cards where we're just like, we're not quite sure what to discuss on it. So there's a lot of episodes where we do have like questions. The one that we just had with Theo on the Lovers feature episode was fantastic because we do have like actual like planned subjects to talk about. This one, we're just going to whip her out there because the one thing that I've been noticing lately, probably something in the stars, is that a lot of people are beginning to fall back on their practice, or fall behind on their practice, and they're kind of have their hands in the air. They don't know what to do with their hands. Things are just yes, that was a reference, but they're very much in a position where they just don't know how to get back into their practice again. And I can kind of understand that. I think there's a lot of chaos going on at a time of recording. I say recording because we're recording the day before our actual launch date, because that's how we are as people. There is an eclipse coming up on the 30th. So I'm sure that there's a lot of chaos going on right now. And I think a lot of people are kind of,
there's an eclipse
on the 30th. Yeah.
Oh,
a lunar eclipse. So with everything kind of going on, that's kind of right now, I think a lot of people want to try to fall back on their spirituality, fall back on their practice for comfort. But either they've been out of it for so long, or maybe they're still in those beginner stages where they haven't really found their niche and their praxis. So we're just going to discuss what we've done to really kind of do that. And honestly, I just whipped all that out of my ass. This was not planned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now I have to sit here and pre-think what I'm going to say for this episode, because listen, I think there's something very beautiful about us coming into this episode with absolute confidence and recording it no matter what, despite the fact we have no plan, and this episode's feature episode being themed on the chariot.
Yeah, well, and honestly, there is a little bit of a thing there, because the chariot doesn't really plan, it just does, it just goes. Uh-huh. And I appreciate that deeply. I do. I do appreciate the fact that we are like very confident in our abilities to do this podcast, and we will figure that out at the end if it works out.
Yeah. But look, okay, so let's get into it. Let's talk about what to do if you may have been neglecting your practice a little bit, because I certainly know that I have been. I used to do daily devotionals. Very small ones, just little ones, and I used to be so like active in my practice. I used to be sitting with my deities and drinking my Starbucks every single day. recently in the last 6-ish months, that has petered out a little bit. I have gotten quite sick. I've gotten COVID twice. As well as some other health complications. I have moved country, changed majors from chemistry, religious studies, and had numerous, numerous other things in my life start to affect me. And it was a little bit too much, because when I came home at the end of the day, I didn't want to sit there for 30 minutes and pray in Irish. I wanted to go to fucking bed and watch Netflix. And that is what I did. And look, if any of you have also been doing this, this doesn't make you a bad practitioner or a bad pagan or a bad devotee or whatever.
I'm joking.
Listen, I'm making a point. Don't tell them that. No, look, we all struggle. This is a lifelong journey that you are embarking on, and you're allowed to have periods of inactivity, of periods of rest and break. That is perfectly natural, and that is not something that you need to feel ashamed about or feel bad for.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that there is that kind of impression that you have to be doing a daily practice. And I think because there was a bit of discourse around this when beginners are asking, how do I get better, right? And the answer is daily practice, right? And I think it's right there in the word. Let's talk about like the English language there. Daily practice. When you practice, you get better. And I think that got the impression, like that gave out the impression that if you are not doing a daily practice, you're bad at your craft or you're bad at spirituality. No, that's not the case at all. It's the case that if you choose or want to get better at what you're doing, the best and easiest way to do that is to have a daily practice. However, you do not have to have a daily practice in any way, shape, or form. I think that's where there's kind of like some information cost, because there was some kind of uproar about ableism saying, well, I can't do a daily practice. That make me a bad pagan. No, it does not make you a bad pagan in any way, shape, or form. It's just that it's like, hey, if you want to get healthy, then you're going to do push-ups, sit-ups, and drink plenty of juice. Like, that's just how it is. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're bad if you don't do that.
Yeah, I would similarly view this, but from a slightly different mindset, in that you can obviously get better without a daily practice. I just think a daily practice is the quickest way to sort of achieve your goals. But the thing is, why are you in a rush? Why do you need to do it the quickest possible way? Because if you're doing it because you want to be sort of better than someone else, then that is not the reason that you should be doing it. If you're doing it because, I don't know, you just want to be better as quickly as possible, then yeah, sure, that's fine. That's valid. Do that. But the thing is, you don't need a daily practice to get better. A daily practice is going to speed things along, because the more you do something, the better you get at it. But the thing is, speeding things along in a lifetime journey it's kind of pointless. Like, you'll get there in the end. Why does it matter? Because you will get there as long as you do practice. It doesn't have to be daily.
You should want to experience your practice because you want to do it, because you love your practice. Like, who would have thought? I'm a tarot reader. I do tarot because I love it. I deeply love the practice. And we haven't really discussed a terrible amount about our other practices, whether it be regarding spirit work or things like that. And a lot of that has to do with just, it's private to me. It's close to me. I don't think it's anybody's business, really, at the end of the day. But on the flip side of the coin, as you said, like, if you want to get better, a daily practice is a very, very, like, effective way.
Efficient
and it's effective way. But it's not the only way. And I think that's the biggest problem, is that when people are kind of step back a little bit and they want to get back into it, they think it has to be go, 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 right from the get-go. And that's not necessarily how you have to do it. If you want to, by all means, you can. But in my experience, if I go right back into doing a daily practice, I usually end up burning out pretty quickly.
Yeah, 100%. What I actually do, and this is a little bit unconventional, when I've taken a little break from my practice, or I've been busy and I want to brush up on a couple things, the first thing that I do to sort of get myself back into the mindset is I read, I'm trying to remember the name of the book. It's not a witchcraft book or an occult book in any way, shape, or form. It is entirely like fantasy and fiction. But just like seeing this sort of like fantastical portrayal of magic sort of helps me ground myself in the way that's like, okay, so this is like, it helps me sort of separate real magic from fake magic when I'm looking at what is obviously meant to be
fiction,
fantasy. Fiction and fantasy. And I'm trying, for the love of God, to remember the name of this book, and it's not coming to me, so that'll come to me later, I've decided. And I get back to the basics. And I know we say that a lot, like, if you're like getting back into your practice, go back to your basics. But like, what are the basics? And the basics can be anything. The basics can be anything that you previously have felt very educated on, and you could still be educated on, but you haven't talked about it in a while, and so you go back and you look at it. So maybe that, for me, if I took a break from tarot, which I actually don't really do, tarot's become like a part of my life, not just part of my spiritual practice at this point, and so it's something that I do daily anyway. But for example, if I were to take a break from tarot, I would start back in by doing a reading, or reading a book about reading. Like, I like, that's how I would start.
Yeah. And just kind of add on to that, what you're getting at is that I think we're a bit of a different case when it comes to tarot, that's basically for us is like saying, like, I'm going to take a break from walking.
100%.
Yeah. So like, I think that's a little bit of a bad example, but continue, because I think it's important for us to say these things for people who are not as established in tarot. So go ahead.
Yeah. Like, look, for a lot of people, and for a lot of people listening to this podcast, I would say even all, or at least the very large majority of people listening to this podcast, tarot is a tool, and it's something that you use spiritually to communicate with these deities or to sort out sort of metaphysical problems in your life, and even sort of mundane problems too. Like, you of course can do tarot readings on mundane problems, but for the most part, it's something that you're approaching spiritually, and that is not really something that I see it as anymore. Obviously I see tarot as a spiritual practice, but it's become like such a huge part of my life now that it's just like, to me, it's like eating breakfast. Like, I'm eating breakfast and I pull a tarot card, and like, it's something that's become a part of my life and not so much something that's part of my spiritual practice.
Yeah. And I think we're a little bit off the tangent there, because I think it's important to actually find a practice like that, that you can walk with per se. And I'm trying to think of a better word to explain it, but I'm talking like a practice that becomes very, very, very natural to you. Meditation is a good example of that people should really be able to get accustomed to, that it becomes so easy. And I think that's a lot of times when people get overwhelmed and they kind of burn out, it's almost because they don't have that one anchored practice that they've really focused on. And what I mean by that is, like, when you don't have a really focused practice, and I'm not just saying tarot, like, I know people who are, like, they're spirit workers, they're mediums, they're energy workers. They don't have a bread and butter anchor that allows them to always fall back on.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you who just listened to that awkward pause, that was the awkward pause of me speaking into a microphone whose mute button I had pushed.
Good job.
What I was going to say was that not having this sort of anchored practice does not make you less of a practitioner. It just means that you may be a little bit less experienced. At least I think something that new practitioners and beginners can be someone who's been doing this for 10 years. It doesn't have to be someone who's been doing this for 6 months off TikTok. It's a practice that you resonate so deeply with that it becomes a part of your daily life. Like, it's no longer a chore. Like, you no longer have to sort of set aside time for it in your day, or else you won't get to it. It's like, it becomes just a part of like the definite things in your life.
And again, when I said earlier, it's like asking us not to walk, right? And I think that it's important, because we're, again, the chariot kind of indicates mastery, is that if you really want to kind of get really anchored into your spirituality, is actually taking out all others and finding the one thing that you love. And mastering, it's not the right term, but really falling in love with one part of your practice and owning it. Owning it's the best word. You have to own a part of your practice. And I think that for all of the pagans that we know, all the practitioners I know, they have that one niche, that one thing that they own completely. I know some really, really good hexers. I know some really, really good mediums. I know some really good tarot readers. Yourself is one of them. I know these people.
Thank you.
I know really strong folk practitioners. I know very strong, like, ceremonialists. Like, there's that one thing that they enjoy. And I think for a lot of people who are newer, and where they kind of get burnt out, is that we encourage for people to kind of read and research a lot of different paths to find their niche. But what's important is actually, you know what, stopping and picking the niche and going with it. Because I think that's the biggest problem, is that too many people are afraid of making the quote unquote wrong choice. And that's where you just need to grow a pair of brass balls and just do it. Just find the one that you love and stick with it, whether it be herbalism or like anything, Buddhism, anything of the sort. You just got to find something. And that's, I'm not saying that you can't pull away from it if you decide it's not for you, but you got to laser focus your practice a little more. And I think a lot of people kind of fail to do that.
Yeah. And the other thing as well, I have two things to say about that. The first being that, like, for me, that part of my practice is what I sort of brought me to the practice in the first place. And so for me, that is actually folk medicine. Because, like, folk remedies and folk medicine and stuff have been a huge part of how my family deal with, like, sicknesses, along with, obviously, modern medicine. But, like, the first thing that you, like, if, okay, I always use this example, but if I got a burn on my body, why can I not think of one? Okay, yeah, okay, so I was making a quesadilla a year ago, and I was using this very deep-rimmed ceramic pan. And 2 weeks in a row, I reached directly into that pan to touch the quesadilla and burnt my wrist. And so my grandmother was like, first of all, you're a fucking idiot. Second of all, here is this jar of shit that I keep in the fridge for
not actually feces.
This specific purpose. Yeah, okay. Not actual shit, but this is like, it's like, okay, so this is like, and this was a folk remedy because it wasn't like, so this part of my practice has been there since I was like literally a child, like a very fucking unable to walk child. And so this is something that's always drawn me to it, and that is part of my practice. And the other thing that I was going to say has now left the building because I went on such a long rant about this.
But no, I think what you're getting at is like, this is very much so, it was a part of almost the culture in your household growing up, right? And funny enough, actually, I did post this on my Instagram. It was a quote from The Scent of Lemon and Rosemary, Working with Domestic Magic and with Hestia by Rachel Henderson. So I'm just going to read this quote because when it comes to, because I think it's kind of very poignant when it comes to medicine and folk medicine in general. It says, when using the spells and recipes in the scent of lemon and rosemary, keep in mind that modern medicine is for treating disease and herbal medicine is for treating symptoms.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, to be honest. I love that. For them, to be honest, good quote.
Well, it's true because I think a lot of people, when we get into holistic medicine, they're just like, it's gonna cure your cancer. It's like, no, it's fucking not. It's here to alleviate some like distressing parts of things mm-hmm. that you might be suffering, which is very, very important because that's kind of helps you be able to take that extra step towards health. But it's never going to replace like regular ass medicine. Come on.
Yep. 100%. And people will like turn to like folk medicine and stuff sometimes as sort of a last resort. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, I hate when this happens because people do come to me sometimes looking for help when it comes to like folk medicine and stuff. And I hate being the person to tell them this, but like, it's not magic. And like, I know that there's a lot of correspondence there between folk medicine and holistic healing and sort of like magical healing or whatever, but that's not really what magic is. And that's not really what folk medicine is. There's a lot of overlap there, but folk medicine was pre-modern medicine for a reason. The feature episode. No, but like finding these things to you that are very deeply important and that sort of brought you to developing your spiritual practice in the first place is what's going to help you develop it again.
Exactly. And like I said, I think one of the first kind of advice that we can get, first pieces of advice we can get for people who are struggling in their getting back into the practice is like, where's your anchor? Where's your anchor practice that you can kind of get back into again? Because I think that it's fine to get bored with things. Do you know how bored I get with tarot? Sometimes.
I'm presuming.
It happens at times, right? And it's normal. But that doesn't mean that if, when I step back, it's the first thing I step back into, right? Is even though I know a reasonable amount about it, I'm not going to say I know everything, I will make it a point to go back to my old books and read my books again, find a new book, read something else. And I will get back into that. And I find that ends up almost becoming the floodgates kind of open up for other things I can bring into my practice and then wanting to do a daily mm-hmm. practice and wanting to do my daily devotions and such. So, and I think that's where a lot of fresher or more beginner practitioners struggle is because they're still trying to find that one path.
Yeah. And the thing is,
semi-hot take. If when you stepped back from your practice, you still hadn't really found this sort of anchor path or this niche that you fit into or this thing that just felt perfect for you, then you may as well sort of start fresh. Like, there's not much to pick up on, if that makes sense. Like, I like when you're asking me how to get back into stuff, but what you were into in the first place was a lot of things in a very surface level way. There's nothing that I can really tell you to get back into, because there's nothing you really got into in the first place.
And we see that a lot with people who get into, like, again, we've complained about this before, social media spirituality, where they're getting all their advice from, like, Pinterest and Tumblr and Instagram and TikTok, and that's basically the extent of it. A lot of these, and maybe I'm just being a fucking asshole, which sometimes I can be, I'm a blunt ass. It's a virtue for me. But I will straight up be like, can you take a picture of your bookshelf? And they have like 1.5 books on there by a social media influencer. And I'm like, well, there's your problem. Right?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, foundational texts are going to be probably the most important. At the end of the day, a lot of modern books and a lot of content that's created nowadays is going to be people's opinions that they've formed based off of reading these foundational texts or having these foundational experiences.
And there's nothing wrong with beginner books. I'm just going to set that expectation right there. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with beginner books or people that, like, again, are kind of a really social media savvy, because I know that Frankie Kadok, which just came out with a book, and I just received it. I went through it. I'm like, this is great. Like, this is a great beginner book. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was very poignant. Am I going to get a whole lot out of it? No, but I am going to see a different point of view, a different aspect. And that's also important.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And I would also like to point out, for any of you who are listening and have read or are about to read Spells for Change by Kadok Witchan or Frankie, somewhere in there, either the front or the back, I can't remember, am thanked by name. Yes,
somebody on this podcast that's not me has been thanked by name in print in a very, like, this is not like a Amazon printed book. This is in, like, Barnes & Noble, or in our case up here, like, Indigo. It's in books, the stores, like, big ones. It's basically, what I'm saying is that there's a celebrity on this podcast, and it's Owen.
Listen, I'm a celebrity. No, but look, okay. I have watched how fucking hard Frankie has worked at writing this book and all of the shit that they have gone through to make it. And I am so proud of them. They're like 10 out of 10 good. Even if the book was shit, I wouldn't even care at this point, because the amount of fucking hard work and effort and research that they put into making it, I don't even care.
Exactly.
I don't even care. It's not shit, though.
I did go through it, and it looks very, very good. But with that being said, if I were to give this book to somebody who's newer or somebody who's reconnecting on their path, I would not be like, this is the Bible for everything that you need to know about witchcraft. I'm like, start here. Hopefully this will inspire you to have 100 books on your shelf and to read all 100 of those books.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, people are saying, like, they have, like, these huge, huge book lists of things that you need to read. Like, for those of you who don't know, there is a resource document linked in my link tree that was compiled entirely by the wonderful at an Irish Pagan on TikTok and Twitter, Tegan, my dear friend. But it's this very long resource doc compiled by Tegan, but with information from a lot of different practitioners. And it's long. Sorry, that's my point. Yeah, it's very long. And people have come to me and they're like, okay, this is very long. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff you need to read, a lot of stuff you need to research. Like, you don't need to have all of this done in the next month. There's no time limit. There's no due date on this. And I know personally, like, for my little ADHD self, I do appreciate a due date sometimes, because then I can speed read it in the last hour before it's due. But with your practice, realistically, procrastinate it as much as you want, because you have a lot of time to get where you want to be. Just know that if you're doing so, like, you are semi doing yourself a disservice, because you're going slower than, like, you would like to be. But also, like, whatever. Who cares?
Go at your own pace, honestly. Like, there's going to be some people that, like, honestly, they pick up on things within a year, right? And they're instantly, like, the most expert of expert. Because I'm not sure how long Frankie's been in, like, the, like, a neo-pagan, but I'm pretty sure in their book it said like along the lines of 6 years. To be 6 years and writing a book, dude, holy shit, right? That's killer.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I know that there's people who's been doing this for 25, 30 years, and they have not changed their practice at all because they don't feel the need to, or they never kind of develop any further than very basics because it's what works for them. We're not expecting people to know everything. We're expecting people to be comfortable in their practice.
Yeah, and that's all that you really need. Like, if people are having these insane unrealistic expectations of you, to like suddenly become like the best witch, knowledgeable in every single subject ever, like that's just ridiculous, because you don't need to be knowledgeable in every single subject ever. Like, I am fully confident, for example, that I can do what I need to do with ease and effectively and not learn certain things. Like, you don't need to learn everything, but like if you want to, then you can do it at your own pace. Like, do it whenever.
And that comes into burnout too, because there might be a concept of like, I'm going to do all this because I need to be knowledgeable, right? And I don't think that is really healthy. Because, for example, like, if a Kabbalist were to sit down with me and start talking about like the correspondence when it comes to like, Kabbalistic connections when it comes to tarot, I would shut my hole and listen because I don't know anything about it. And I think the thing is that it's important to know what you don't know and listen when you're able to, because I see that a lot, and I'll be frank, if you see it with young practitioners a lot, or people who, I call it the only kid on the block syndrome, when because they're the only person in their friend group that's into this, they think that they know more than they actually do, right? So what ends up happening is that they end up arguing, right, their point. And it's just like, yeah, your point is subjectively right, but there's also a counterpoint here that you should also listen to. But they don't want to acknowledge anything else because they're too busy trying to hoard all this knowledge to be able to just kind of tell people how it is. And like, I know what's going on because in real life, I know everything and all my other friends hang off my every word. It doesn't work that way. You need to be hungry for knowledge, not because you want to know everything. You should be hungry for knowledge because it makes you more comfortable in your own craft. Not necessarily better at your craft, because I don't like even saying that, because that almost puts it like there's power levels or something of the sort. No, you have to just be more comfortable and confident in your craft, not necessarily better at your craft. And when I say that, I'm saying that in a way that I hope makes sense, because you should always want to be better. But you should always want to be better because you want to be better, not because you want to be better than somebody else.
Yeah. Better, you, like, when you're striving to be better, you should be striving to be better than your previous self, not another person.
Yeah. And I see a lot of burnout because people are struggling against other practitioners. And we see that in online spaces a lot. And it's, I don't care about other practitioners. If anything, if somebody knows better than I am, I'm like, oh, okay, shut my hole and I'm sitting on my tailbone here and I'm listening.
And like, this is not exclusive to the witchy or occult spaces. Like, this happens in mainstream education all of the time. And what's worse even is in mainstream education, and a lot of it, it's encouraged by sort of like teachers and principals and whatever. Like, they encourage this academic competition when that's not really fair, when not everyone's starting from the same position and not everyone wants to be doing this. And then they're kind of being forced to by the majority or their peers. And it's just, it's a little bit like, where is the need? Like, why are you burning these people out unnecessarily? Because I know I was burnt the fuck out of myself when I first joined like the online occult space, because like I had research and like I had my knowledge and I was fairly comfortable in my practice when I joined, but there was all of this new information and all of these new people that I was like in quotation marks competing with, that I had to suddenly know like everything. And then I did a shit ton of research in the space of 2 months and literally could not pick up a book for like 6 months. So
yeah,
don't do that either.
Right? Yeah. And I think that is, like you said, it's not just in witchy and like pagan circles, because I think that this as a religion, it's not like you can go to a church and have a deacon or a priest tell you what to think, right? It's very much so especially in the case of solitary practitioners, which I believe honestly 90% of people are now, is that you have to really kind of think for yourself, and there's going to be a lot of strong opinions, right? I'm making a point to be like, although I'm very confident in tarot, I'm going to say my piece, but I'm not going to argue people unless they're terribly, terribly wrong. If they're saying something along the lines of like, the tower just means that you're going to go boss babe. Then I'm going to be like, okay, we're going to fucking fight. But that's a different story altogether. But for the most part, is that to keep yourself from burning out and being able to be confidently, again, name of the episode, getting back on the horse, is actually just not take things so personally. And just allow other people to practice how they want to practice, as long as they're being safe and not completely stupid. And honestly, who cares? Yeah, like, whatever, let them do whatever they want. They're on the internet.
Realistically, yeah, I was going to say, like, even realistically, if someone is being stupid and it's not going to have, like, ripple effects in the community and it's really only going to affect themselves, like, you can warn them and be like, hey, you're being an idiot, but also, like, chill. Like, who cares? They're going to make this mistake for themselves whether or not you tell them not to, a lot of the time anyway. And so it's honestly better to just let people sort of make these mistakes sometimes and let them learn than it is to burn yourself out trying to stop them when what they are doing doesn't actually affect you realistically at all.
And I think that comes into just making sure things are a community and having things are almost like a bit of a democracy. Because, like, everybody's allowed to kind of say their piece. And again, as long as it's not harmful, right, then just let it be. And that sound kind of almost seems like almost counterproductive to the Chariot, but having that kind of self-determination, you're not going to let other people get in your way, including the people who are you disagree with.
And knowing when it's going to serve you best to just not be engaging with people is also very much the Chariot. Because the Chariot is focused on the goal. They're focused on themselves and they're focused on getting where they want to be. And they aren't necessarily going to be focused on the external things that could be distracting them when it's not going to serve their, like, overall purpose or their journey that they're trying to get themselves on.
And I think that's coming into, I think I said it like 100 times now, but having that anchor practice. Because if you have that anchor practice that you are very confident in, right, then...
New drinking game, take a shot every time Kateri says anchor.
Anchor! Get liquored right now. Anchor. Anyway, so...
Oh my God.
I think the problem is that, or a lot of people, they... Just because you, and this is gets complicated because I'm going to just throw it out there. I see this a lot, again, on social media, especially the witch types that make me want to rip out my hair. The witch type, and I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can't just pick a witch identity and then just be like, this is who I am now. That's not how it works. You don't just pick your identity in that way.
Especially when they're so completely arbitrary and ridiculous.
Yeah. So I see that... a good example, herbalism. A lot of people think like, it's like mixing herbs together and like skipping through the forest and picking the mushrooms. Nah, man, herbs can kill you. Herbs can absolutely give you the dirtiest rashes. Like they can...
The dirtiest rashes.
And I'm not just talking about like poison ivy. I'm talking like cinnamon. Like you can have allergic reactions. You can fuck up your lungs. Like there's so many...
Oh, with cinnamon? Yeah, fucking.
Oh my god,
time.
Just not cinnamon, like just in general, like any type of herb. No. So you hear, and again, a lot of this comes from just inexperience. So I'm, either way, you just hear it with people like, I'm a green witch. Okay, cool. And then they start spitting out these most arbitrary correspondences, which I'm sure that will be true. But like when they're taking cinnamon and mixing it with like lemon and putting it on their plants, and I'm like, and then they don't understand why they're cursed and their plants won't grow. I'm like, are you fucking stupid? This is what I mean by like actually understanding your practice. It's not so much as saying, oh, I now identify as a tarot reader. So you now have to listen to me because I identify as a tarot reader and I have life experience as a tarot reader. No, man, I have years of study as a tarot reader. I've had online arguments with people. It's like that were just like, okay, can you explain to me?
You arguing with
Never.
People?
I've had arguments for people where I'm just like, hey, can you explain this to me? And they're like, no. It's just like, well, why not? And then after you get out, you're like, oh, because you actually don't know what the fuck you're talking about. It's not that you don't, because I end up, because the thing is, I already know what they're talking about. It's very simple stuff, but they're like, you should do your own research. I'm like, okay, I did. So what's this? And then they try to dance around a little bit. I'm like, I need you to explain this to me because I already explained it to you. So I need you to counter explain. And then they won't, because I'm just like, oh, this has nothing to do with research. You just don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I actually have a very perfectly beautiful example of this that I brought up in the episode that Theo was on. I got into an argument with someone online because, and I will say, I did not go into this with the intention of arguing with this person. I commented very kindly, more kindly than I usually am, actually, on someone's TikTok. And I was like, hey, so I just wanted to let you know that Lady Morgan is actually... like incorrect Irish grammar. Like if you like are looking to call them something, I would recommend like the Morgan or on Morgan or na Marigna. And then they responded by belittling me, telling me that I was wrong and saying that I was like an awful, awful person because I corrected them. And I was like, okay, but why do you say Lady Morgan? Because for those of you who are like, don't know what I'm talking about, Morgan is a title. And it literally means like on Morgan is the great queen or like the phantom queen, less or so. And so to like say Lady Morgan, you're saying Lady Great Queen. And it's just like, okay, that's just not it's
double titles,
just not grammar. Yeah. Like that's just ridiculous. Like you sound like an idiot right now. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you, but you sound insane. It's
like Mr. Senior like, Owen.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, but that's literally what it's like. And it's like, I get that. Not everyone like knows Irish and is able to learn Irish, but like these are very, very basic things. And if you are going to be talking about something and you're going to be looking into something and practicing practices that don't belong to you, you're going to want to do your research. That's a whole other tangent, however. And once again, I've lost my point, but I will get there. Hold on. The whole debacle can be summed up by saying yikes. Okay,
what we were talking,
you will benefit, what we were
talking about is that
we were talking about
how if you are overly confident and you're just there to fight, then that's how you're gonna burn out, and that's how either you're gonna burn out or be pushed out of spaces that will help you.
Mm-hmm. now I know why I brought that up. Thank you. What I was gonna say was, look, I was partially in the wrong in this situation because at the end of the day, who is she hurting? Like, I mean, there is the argument we made that because she was a very large creator, she was spreading a lot of misinformation, and that is the one that I will stick by. But for example, if it's just one person and like they're not creating content or claiming to know anything, and they're calling like the Namorita Lady Morgan, like that's not actually hurting anyone. No. Like if it works for them, whatever, I guess. Like have fun, but just don't try to tell people that you're right.
Yeah, right. And it's like, and honestly, I was getting at the point here is that, and again, going back to the chariot, is that being forceful is not going to help you either. And kind of forcing something upon, even forcing something on yourself, because people are obsessed with titles and obsessed with identities, and they're like, okay, if I title myself as this, then that means it makes me this. It's like, no, there's a lot of things that you have to earn.
It's like those people who call themselves like priests and priestesses, but don't actually have any of the credentials or experience to back that up.
Yeah. Like that's makes my teeth grind. And if you're doing that for prestige, if you're doing anything spiritual for prestige and attention and for validation, then you need to start from square one at this point. And that's going to be one of the main reasons why you're burning out. And it's going to be the second reason why nobody's going to want to listen to you. Yes, you're going to have your following. This is almost turning into a cults episode at this point. You're going to have your little following because people are not going to know any different. But if you go into a community and you're basically being told that everything is wrong, right? Then maybe mm-hmm. you need to sit down and listen. And I think that a lot of burnout happens from a lot of people kind of pushing against the grain. And
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily a healthy way to go because...
Oh, either yeah. I think that's a huge problem, actually. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but right while it's on the tip of my tongue, I'm seeing a lot of people, like very, very young people with very little experience and very little, like, knowledgeable experience as well, starting to create their own practices and their own completely different, like, magical systems and foundations, which is fine to a certain extent. But when you start to indoctrinate, I mean, when you start to share this online, yeah. when you start to, like, give this to other people and claim that it's, like, this big, long tradition that's, like, fucking generations old and it's all the knowledge and all the power, then you need to shut the fuck up.
Oh, yeah, we see it a lot where people make, you can tell it's just made up because it's just made up. And that's the killer thing too, is that, like, I've read esoteric books, right? I've read books about like the black arts and all that. Like, I've read deep occult pieces.
Please, not Cavendish.
Not Cavendish. But I've read about like traditional craft and things like that. And then when people say these things, you can tell that it's just made up because it's very media-based almost craft. And then they're like, nope, I've been doing this for years. And then you find out that their grandmother is like an old Mormon or something. Like, it hurts because there's people who are listening to that. And that's where, honestly, it's important to research, right? And I think that's where people can get burnt out too, because they're like, okay, it's overwhelming because now I have to know all of these things, so I'm not following other people. That's what the beautiful thing is. You don't have to follow other people. You need to make your own damn practice.
Okay, yes, 100%. I have something to say on that, but there's a hilarious story here that I think everyone will enjoy. So as most of you know, I do come from a family of folk practitioners, but we are Irish, so we are also Catholic practitioners. Yeah. Shocker. Someone called it, like, a guards or whatever. But so one day, when I was in high school, I think I might have been 14, 15, something like that. I had a book that some of you will be familiar with called The Black Arts by Richard Cavendish. And I also, at the same time, I had Liberal Religious, the Book of the Law, and they sat on my nightstand. And one of the days, and this was extremely, like, out of character for my mother, like, she always respected my privacy growing up quite a lot. But one of the days she picked me up from school and she was like, so we need to have a conversation. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're terrifying me right now, but go on. And she was like, so are you in a cult?
Like, yes.
And I was like, what? And she was like, so I found some books in your bedside table, and like one of them's talking about like demon worship and like human sacrifice. And I was like, ah, yes. And then I couldn't figure out which book it was, which made it so much worse, because I started listing off books and she was like, what?
You have more of these?
Yeah. Oh my God. No, but it was very funny. But like, basically, that's just a hilarious anecdote for the, don't take any lesson from that story. There is no lesson. I'm just an idiot and that was funny. But the lesson does come in that you do need to be foundational and understand your own practice and make your own practice, but you don't need to make your own tradition. Like, it is perfectly okay to be doing things the same as somebody else or be taking inspiration from somebody else.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I'm seeing I'm seeing these people creating traditions and I will send you some screenshots later, but I am seeing people create entire traditions on Twitter right now. And I'm just kind of sitting here and I'm like, you need to chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
You don't need to be doing this right now. So like, be unique and be confident and special in your practice, but also not to the point of this.
Yeah.
Not this.
And
girl.
This is what I'm getting at is that maybe I should say this in a very, very clear way. If I'm not going to say anchor a billion times, I should be saying nuance. Nuance is important. Because when I say like...
I'm sick of this.
I know,
this
you're
word.
Like, I hate it. No, because like when I mean like not following somebody, it's just that, are you getting caught up in a cult of personality, right? There's definitely authors and there's definitely creators that I absolutely adore. And there's parts of their practice. Actually, there's creators I adore where their practice is nowhere near mine, and I have no interest in adopting that practice, but I still listen and learn because there might be little pieces of it that might be intriguing to me that I might adopt into it. But there's nothing wrong with that. What I'm getting at is just like, don't stan people. Even like cult leaders, like, I don't know.
Don't stan cult leaders.
Like, the only thing I can think of to mind right now is like Aleister Crowley was an asshole. Like, don't stan people like that. But you can take pieces of that practice and absolutely adopt it and adjust it to you. And that also comes into, again, these little mini communities that we can get a part of. I set the expectation, and I say this with all the jokes in the world. I'm like, if you're going to simp for me because I'm hot, not because I'm smart.
I Oh my God, listen. Why would you spring that on me like that? That was okay. I would agree, as someone who Twitter has declared an 8.5 to a 9, if you're going to simp for me, simp. Or because, okay, if you've heard me when I'm living in Ireland or after I've been on the phone to my grandmother, my accent is very Irish. It's beautiful. Simp for me for that.
Do it.
Don't simp for me because of my knowledge, because let's be honest, I am a human too, and there are gaps in my knowledge.
Right.
And I am upfront about that.
But we're going on a tangent at this point, because, again, we want to get back into telling.
How unlike us.
No, exactly. Off topics. What are, again, what do you do? So let's kind of break this down, because we got about 15 minutes left of this podcast. What would we suggest to people if they are burnt out and they want to get back in?
I would suggest, if you right now are burnt out and you want to get back into your practice, the first thing that I would recommend is not.
Because go join the church. Like, be a good Christian person. Don't come back.
No, but look, okay, if you've been practicing for all of these months and you've been researching and doing on all this work and effort and it's burnt you out, don't jump straight back in as soon as you start to feel a little bit better. What you need to do first is you need to look at what you did the last time you did this and be like, okay, so I went a little bit too hard here. I pushed myself further than I needed to be pushed, and I rushed myself, and then I burnt myself out. And so, yeah, basically what I would recommend is doing that. Look at what fucked you up the last time and very, very slowly ease back into it. It's not a race.
Yeah. Don't go back into doing a daily practice if that's what you've been doing it for, because honestly, again, daily practice is a fantastic way to get better and a terrible way to keep consistent. Frankly. And
I had to think about that one for a second. Yeah. But
because yes, you will be consistent until you hate everything to do with it, and then you never want to be consistent ever again. So
Don't go from a 6-month break straight back into a daily practice. Yeah. Don't
a daily
do that.
Practice should be natural to you. Just like mm-hmm. eating or drinking. Like, it's something that you're going to want to do because it nourishes you. So
yeah.
With that being said, I think some of the advice that we gave a little bit, honestly, getting into something that kind of, I know this, it's going to sound a little off because I know a lot of people get really ornery about this for absolutely good reasons. Getting into like some sort of fantasy thing, kind of seeing something that makes you feel good about yourself. Like you said, getting into a fantasy world and being like, hey, you know what? This makes you feel fantastic. Like, I will watch some like mm-hmm. really good, like witchy horror movies. And I'm like, dude, right? Ooh, I'll yes. watch this stuff. And we see this a lot with a lot of practitioners become very, very active during like the fall and Halloween season. And it's because they're kind of in that environment of the season of the witch, right? So, and mm-hmm. I'm saying, looking at this strictly from a witchcraft perspective per se, but finding something and kind of surrounding yourself with that aesthetic again is actually going to really help, right? And kind of allowing yourself fall into that aesthetic that is almost just makes you feel good, right? And I think that's kind of,
yeah, it makes inspires you, it encourages it's, you. Yeah. It inspires yeah. you. Exactly.
Find something that will inspire you again. To be like, because you didn't get into this, let's be realistic, Listen. I'm going to call everybody out right now. Everybody got into this because they wanted to be cool.
Mm-hmm. Or because they wanted to have control. My hot take, there are no people who are into, like, witchcraft specifically and, like, sort of these sort of practices that aren't here because there is something in their life that they cannot control and that they want to control.
Yeah.
That's my hot take as someone who did one semester of psychology.
There you go. And if it's not because you wanted to be cool, it's because you wanted to be in control. And you need to kind of go back to that. You need to feel that feeling again. You're like, you know what? I wanted this. And once you kind of get back into that space again, for me, it's watching things that are very aesthetic, like Sabrina is a good example of something that's...
Yes, I was literally about to bring this up. Whenever I'm in a slump, I rewatch... Not the old Sabrina, the new Sabrina. I watch the old Sabrina when I'm sad and want a boyfriend. But the new Sabrina, Chilling yes. Adventures of, is very... it draws very heavily from, like, occult yes. practices. Obviously, it's fictional, yes. but it has a lot of real-life elements in it, and there's a lot of symbology. And if you actually look at each season... I can't remember the order or how many seasons there are, but I know that, like, one of the seasons, like, sort of the magic or, like, the theme of it focuses on Gnosticism. And then there's, like, the pagans and whatever in season 2 or 3 or whatever. And, like, if you actually look at this with a little bit more, like, of an occult eye, you will start to see all of the sort of symbology and all of the sort of, like, insane connections that you can make to the real world. Through this, and it's very good show, by the way. Watch Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Exactly. And we're again taking this very much from, like, a witchcraft stance, but if you are heathen, watch, like, watch Vikings.
Say Percy Jackson. I dare you.
Percy Jackson, yeah. Yeah, if you're heathen, watch Percy Jackson. But no, it's like anything that initially inspired you, fall back into that a little bit. Allow yourself, and I think that's the biggest problem, is people are like, well, it's fiction and I don't want to be attached to people just thinking that I'm, like, crazy. It's like, no. You're allowed mm-hmm. to enjoy fiction, right? I'm sure that yeah. the men who watch wrestling and, like, yeah, this makes me feel like a man, don't actually think that it's real. But it makes them...
Actually, I've met a few.
But obviously it makes them feel a certain way. Or if you are watching Sex and the City, like, you obviously know that this is a highly unrealistic, like, depiction of relationships, but it still makes you feel good. It makes you feel like a boss babe. Do what you need to do to inspire yourself again. And that's where I recommend people starting. And then from there, fall back in love with your anchor practice.
No, but, like, listen, I have a really good example of this because unironically, I became interested in sort of Greek mythology and Hellenic practices. Because I read Lore Olympus.
Right?
Like, I read literally... First of all, go read Lore Olympus. It is
I have... Okay, good. You mentioned this before in the podcast. So I was like, okay, sounds good. Mm-hmm. I have read it all in, like, 2 fucking days. I stayed up till 3 a.m. Yeah. reading this webcomic. It's not even... It doesn't even cost money. It's free, guys. Go read it. It is yeah. so good. Anyway, continue.
Webtoon. Yeah. No, but literally, like, I, through Lore Olympus, because there are aspects of truth to Lore Olympus, there's a lot of embellished stuff for entertainment, because obviously it's not supposed to be, like, historically accurate. And it's so good, because that led me to researching actual history and actual mythology. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would do. If I was a Greek practitioner or someone who was looking into Hellenic deities, I would recommend reading Lore Olympus first, because, like, not for knowledge, but for excitement. Yes. Like, that's kind of a hot take, I guess. I would recommend reading the fiction before.
No, you're right, because the thing is that it is supposed to make you feel something. This is gonna sound cheesy. It's supposed to make you feel something in your heart, right? It's supposed to make you feel something. What's not good is taking that and making it part of your practice, because that's mm-hmm. where it becomes really dicey, because who would have thought the gods are not your friends? But the thing is that that's where, again, that wonderful word, nuance, it's finding that nuance and finding that inspiration again. And once you kind of find that inspiration, then you can kind of go into the mundane portions of it, which is re-researching your practice. I can use tarot for an example in this case, where I'm just going to go through the card meanings again, just go through the keywords and just kind of remind myself a little bit. I do that every time I start going to a little bit of a slump. I just go on my way to read through things again. I find little mini books, like books that don't have a whole lot of deep details in it, but I'll just read through it to refresh myself. And that usually ends up dominoing into me reading heavier books. And before I know it, I'm back in my practice again. And now I'm not just saying like my tarot practice, because I do that anyway, but I'm talking about I'll start branching out into the things that I was doing before that I got burnt out on, like spirit work or Lenormand or like any other types of practices that I do. Or my deity work, mm-hmm. like it starts dominoing. But if you start saying, oh, I got burnt out, I'm going to throw myself right into the thing that burnt me out again, that's a bad idea. Throw yourself into the thing that you loved.
Yeah, like for me, I quite literally just bought, I don't have the book near me. If I did, I would tell you the title. But it's literally just a book of like, I think it's Irish mythology and folk tales or something. Like it's something generic like that with like the green cover and the Celtic designs, whatever, whatever, whatever. And I'm going to read this book because not because I'm getting information out of it, but because, okay, there will be information in it. Like it is a book of mythology. Like it is going to depict the mythology in a certain way, but this is all going to remind me like why I got into it in the first place. Cause it's entertainment. It's a fantasy sort of type book. I remember the name of the fucking book series I was talking about earlier. I remember who made it, and it was Ruth Frances Long, or, okay, anyway, she's from Dublin, and she wrote this wonderful, wonderful fiction series on the Ruth Frances Long. Yeah, that's her name. Okay, sorry. but the book series, it's coming. Hold on, I'll get there. So there is this 3-part series, and the 3 books are called A Crack in Everything, A Hollow in the Hills, and A Darkness at the End.
There we go.
And basically,
you did it. Yeah,
there we go. Three books and an author. I am the best. But this book series, it's about the Sidhe and the Eighth Sidhe in Ireland, and so like the fairies, and there's aspects of mythology in there too. There's a lot of symbology. It was written by an Irish person who did a lot of research. It is fantasy, but it is so, so amazing to read. And it's so much fun for me to read because it's like reading a modern version of like the fairy tales and folk tales that I grew up with. And so it gets me back into my practice. And so like I'll see like a name or a word or something in the book that's like, oh, well, I don't really recognize this. And then I'll Google it. And then I'll go down a rabbit hole researching this, which will branch off into other things and other things and other things. And that's how I get back into my practice.
Exactly. And it's not just as like, it's not just as simple as like going back to your old things too. It's just finding new things to kind of inspire you as well. That's in that same vein, right? I was taking a little break from everything, and then I watched American Gods, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I forgot how fulfilling deity work was, and that kind of stepped me back into the practice for a long time. Find inspiration is the best way I can really tell you is that. And if you're not inspired, step back. Guess what? You're not going to die tomorrow, or maybe you are, but you're not going to die tomorrow, right? You're allowed to take a break. You're also allowed to not make this your identity and not make this your personality type. You're allowed to do other things than your practice. You're allowed to be normal. And again, I think that comes into people having either too high of an opinion of themselves, or they're trying to mold themselves into like a fantasy type character, or an unrealistic. They have high realistic or overly highly, what's the word I'm looking for? Idealistic.
Unrealistic.
Wow. Wow. They have I just went through the entire gambit then. There. So they have an
gambit.
They have an unrealistic concept of how they should act or should be like. It's almost like a goth person saying, I would never wear pink. It's just like, wear the pink socks on your boots. It's okay.
That is such an that was such an unexpected analogy. But yeah, I mean, to literally sum this entire 60-minute roughly episode into a single sentence, it's find inspiration again. It doesn't have to be, and when I say inspiration, it doesn't have to be actual like academic or like a magical inspiration in something that's historically based and mythologically accurate, whatever, whatever, whatever. It can be fiction. It can be anything. It can be art. It can be painting. It can be music. It can be drawing. It can be singing. It can be literally whatever you want, but find that inspiration again. And if you are unable to find this inspiration, then you aren't ready to get back into it. I'm sorry, but you are still burnt out and you are lying to yourself if you think that you aren't.
Turn in your Pagan card. We're going to be canceling the payments to Pagan Club. And
you've got 3 points on your license now. Hand it over.
Go get your baptism, because you might as well just be a Christian, because you're not allowed to be a pagan anymore unless you're doing this all day, every day, YOLO.
And with that beautiful sentiment, I think no, but for real, seriously, don't stress about it so much. If you are burning yourself out every time you pick up a witchcraft book, chill out. Don't pick up the witchcraft book. If it's burning you out, either choose another book or take a longer break. There is nothing, there is no downside to waiting longer, because you can do this for as long as you want or for as little as you want, and there will always be a community for you to come back to if that is what you're worried that you're going to miss. Like, that is always going to exist. Don't worry about it. Chill.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath.
Don't worry about it.
Go outside. Have a picnic in the park. That's what I did. It was amazing.
Oh, that sounds amazing. It's still freezing cold here, so I'm going to have to just suck it up and just lay outside.
Have a picnic anyway. In your car.
Do it right in the automobile. All right.
But yeah.
I think that's it.
I think so too. I've said everything I need to say, however ramblingly I have said it. I have been Owen on Highlock. You can find me on Twitter under the same name. I also run the Soothsayers Tea Twitter, which is @Soothsayers_tea. All of my links will be in the description below. Blah, 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 blah.
Yes, and I am Kateri from Vinoxus. You can find me at vinoxus.net or on Instagram at the same handle. You can also see me running the Soothsayers Tea Instagram. All the links are in the link tree that is linked to this episode.
The link to link tree.
The link to link tree.
Yep. Well, with that, we will see you all on Monday. Goodbye, everybody. Bye.